The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It is a Friday. Oh, yeah. My goodness. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Good. I guess that's me. It's Friday.
Yes,
you're right.
It's Friday.
Ready to sit around and enjoy the snowflakes and the heavy rain and the 40 degrees. Should be beautiful.
I'm crabby, Brady, because we lost last night.
I'm right there with you.
10 seconds into the show.
Well,
basketball.
I got to tell you, you know why, Rich? I am so crabby that losing last night still affects me today.
Is this the Y League?
Yes, this is the Y League.
Okay.
We lost. Brady played great for the first time.
Yes, it is about the first time all year.
In 2 years, I've seen him play this well, except when he plays me one-on-one.
Right.
And we lost to the douchey team, right? The team I don't like.
Yes.
I don't like those guys.
What do you mean? I can't tell. Do you dislike them?
Oh, I dislike them.
Did you get to the point?
And they had to have a couple ringers.
Yeah, they did have a couple guys.
Ringers.
Oh.
We beat them by 2 and by 20 in the regular season.
And all of a sudden, we lost by 6.
And they didn't have 2 of these guys. And we were missing our best player.
And
I thought you said Arnie was there.
I was there. I didn't do anything. I could have been a ghost.
Just stand there like a statue.
I was just standing there like a fool. I mean, it's funny because the guys didn't score off me, and then when I left the game, they got red hot and just lit us up like a torch. It was unbelievable. I'm so crabby, though. I'm ready. No more YMCA League.
Oh, yeah. That's
too soon
bad.
The Monday, Wednesday is going to be gone because the school's going to be closed.
Yep.
I got to find a place to play other than Pomeroy Park, and I can't even play there because we got the show and nobody shows up there at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I got no place to play except I want to play in the Essex League, but that league doesn't start till 6. I mean, starts at 6, and that's we're doing the show until 6.
So, yeah, that's a tough one. So I'm going to have the Summer Baseball League, it looks like, where I'm going to play here in the Green Mountain League.
Yeah.
And I got to find a basketball place to play, too. And you're right. I have had other games where I have scored well, but it's taken me like 100 shots to get 20 points. Yesterday, I had 30 points a very, very—
Yeah, he was hot.
I had our first 10 points on a very, very efficient shooting night. Go figure.
But
I finally get good as the season ends.
And we lose to those guys. I hate them.
You literally hate them?
Yes. And after the game, they were like, oh, yeah, we'll call that show tomorrow. Hey, hey. They were so like they had won the NBA championship. Hey, hey, hey. I wanted to go over there and punch him in the face.
Wow.
Now we're rooting for Trimboli to put up 74 against
them. I got a feeling Trimboli had something to do with that. Like he found some guys so he wouldn't have to play us.
Yeah.
I'm serious about
that. I don't think so.
Of the so-called ringers look potentially like former UVM stars?
One guy had like 60 points.
No, we did not.
Well, he was red hot.
Marcus Blakely was one of them.
Oh, yeah, that was him.
Koppenrath was the other.
Oh, that was the other guy. No, I'm serious. It was like this guy couldn't miss a shot. It was like he was playing on a Nerf hoop.
Were you covering him?
Tim in South Burlington says, if we're looking for a place to play, how about Lakeside? It's right off Pine Street. It's a decent court. I don't know. Is that outdoors?
Yeah, it's nice. It's right in the middle of that park.
Well, no, it's outdoors, I don't need outdoors. It's 50 degrees out, you know?
50?
What the hell are you talking about? See, I'm really crabby.
It's not going to be 50 all year. I mean, by June, we'll have a 55-degree day.
Yeah, but you know what sucks is nobody goes to play ball till like 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I don't know if you know this. Our show starts at 4, you know? So
why don't
that
they
takes
think
away my
about
summer.
These things?
Why don't you think about stuff like that? Yeah, I'm really crabby. I hate losing.
Great.
I'm a sore loser, too. You know that.
I never would have guessed.
Yeah, you know I'm a sore loser.
So does this mean we're not going to hear about your silly leagues to start every show?
That's it. You won't ever hear it until next year. That's it.
That's too bad.
I'll
tell you, I make fun of you guys talking about the same thing every day to start the show, but the reason is I bring it up is because everybody I talk to says, oh, it's funny when you talk about basketball.
Yeah. Well, it'd be funny if you rode your bike and like fell off. I could talk about that. But
I'm trying.
Yeah, you
not
are
to fall, but just to ride.
Do you want to read the look? Brady's already getting upset. Brady, you want to read the Top Fair Tire text line right off the bat, or Rich, would you like to read that?
I can't get the thing to go up, so I'm stuck.
Tristan in Williston, he had the mistake of the day yesterday, and now he's coming back for more today.
Yes, he is. See, when you loan somebody money like a relative, they come back for more.
He says, Brady made a mistake. He didn't do his job. He didn't put up the podcast from yesterday's show on the app. I only get to listen to the first 15 minutes live, and if it worked the next day, the podcast isn't up to date is ruined.
It is ruined.
It is ruined.
Wow, so, that's
you ruined the guy's day, for crying out loud.
So I am putting up the podcast from yesterday in our first commercial break. I apologize to you, Tristan.
All right, so there
and,
you go.
And what does your wife's text mean? What is that?
Hello, Orange Theory? I don't know.
No, how do you guys not? Are you
Hello,
guys?
Hello, Orange Theory?
Okay, Rich, Orange Theory is a new workout facility that is a big advertiser on our station.
So those you guys.
So you should know the answer. And Arnie, you should understand English and what that means. She's saying basketball's over, go work out.
Oh, I understand that, but I want to play basketball, though. I want to play on a full court, real regulation basketball. I'm tired of these courts. That it's like 4-4 courts. Right. I can't do it anymore.
Right. You'd be scoring 50 a game if you had a regular court.
Rich, I'm serious. They could guard me easier on these small courts. Let's open it up, baby.
That's right. Orange Theory. Really, now I feel bad. Yeah. I knew exactly what that was.
Because we've only done a few events with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very crabby. I'm
crabby too. I finally played well, and then we lost. And now Tristan's got me on podcast
patrol. I just hate losing to that little dude. The guy's like 4'6". He looks like Billy Barty.
He complained about every call.
I know.
He complained about every call.
Okay. I didn't know if he was like a midget or something.
We're not allowed to say that.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that?
The PC Patrol will be on our porch.
Well, that's what, wasn't the Billy Barty? Did you hit the dump button on that?
No.
Oh, because Billy Barty was one, was he not?
Next topic.
Jeez. Well, he was only 4'6" anyway. So there you go. I think, I better read some of this stuff before I read it. So anyway, yeah, I was crabby. We lost, okay. But it is a Friday. Lots going on. Brady, tell everybody what's coming up on the show.
Tristan's already going for the mistake of the day. Luckily, he can't qualify 2 days in a row.
Wow.
So remember, the mistake of the day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. And we do the mistake of the day. You text in a mistake, we get a qualifier at the end of every day. And then at the end of the week, we'll give out a brand new 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. So we've already got four qualifiers. We're looking for our fifth one today. Remember what's coming up soon.
Yep.
Tuesday is trivia night, Burger Bar in Colchester. That's coming up next Tuesday, 7:30 to 9:30. And also, you guys are going to give me a quizzical look when I tell you where we're doing the show on Wednesday. But there's actually a great, great benefit to our listeners. Wednesday, we're doing this show live from the UPS store on North Avenue in Burlington. We are going to be We are going to be out at the UPS store in Burlington. But tax day is on Tuesday. So since tax day is Tuesday, you all have thousands of documents stacked up here that you've had to acquire and now you want to get rid of. If you come and do the while we're doing the show, they're going to do free shredding of all your documents for you.
That's pretty cool.
So free shredding of all your documents on Wednesday at the UPS store in North Avenue.
And they'll probably be full of boxes I can have to move all the crap out of my house.
Could I wear one of those uniforms they have? I like that.
Like Kevin James?
Yeah, exactly like Kevin James.
What can Brown do for Arnie?
Yes, what can Brown do for you? I love that.
As for what's coming up on the show today.
I look like Kevin James.
Rick Marshall with less hair. Rick Marshall of the Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury will join us at 4:20 to talk about the Kraft Hockeyville Initiative. Bill Michaels, longtime Wisconsin sports host, will join us at 4:35. He'll get us ready for Celtics and Bucks in the playoffs. Will Reeve, Middlebury College graduate, ESPN personality at 5. We'll get into the Bruins' big win at 5:20.
Yeah.
We've got a fun power play today at 5:30.
It's a good one.
Really good one. But first, the Sox take 2 of 3 from the Yanks as Rick Porcello throws well again, everybody. Rick Porcello, a no-no through 6 yesterday.
The only thing is I was surprised they brought him back. I was talking a little bit about this with Rich before the show. But, yeah, another good victory there. They're flexing their muscle, and they're doing it with pitching. There's no doubt about that. The starting pitching has been so much better than I could imagine. And if you notice, everybody who got a hit yesterday, Mookie didn't get hit, but a lot of people that got hit yesterday were off to really bad starts. So maybe that's going to wake up the rest of the offense. But I mean, how could you not be happy with what happened yesterday?
It was really weird because if you look at the way they scored those 6 runs over those 2 innings, it was like fielder's choice, error, pass ball, wild pitch, double play. There was no big hit in that game that made you say, there is your hit of the game. There's just a lot of guys getting on base one way or another and scoring on ground outs and things like that. But clearly the story, you guys may have had a lousy night last night, but man, I had the feet in the air between going back and forth between Nesson and Nesson Plus. It was all good last night. Porcello, I don't know what to tell you. We talked preseason. Is he the 22-4 Cy Young guy, or is he the lousy pitcher from last year? I figured he'd be somewhere in between, but he has definitely been the guy from 2 years ago so far.
Sonny Gray, who pitched yesterday for the Yankees, and Rick Porcello, who pitched yesterday for the Red Sox, they remind me a lot of each other.
Yes.
And you talk about the Red Sox not really having a back blow, you know, a bone-crushing hit last night. Well, it's because Sonny Gray pitched himself into trouble. And when you get – this was the best advice I ever got from any pitching coach I ever had. You can give up walks or you can give up hits, but you cannot give up both. And Sonny Gray gave up single, walk, wild pitch. And when you do that, when you alternate between – letting guys get hits and putting them on base with free passes, bad things are going to happen. Rick Porcello last season gave up the most hits in all of baseball. So when you couple all of those hits with a high number of walks like Porcello had a year ago, that's when you get the season he had last year. This year, one walk, 17 strikeouts. People put the ball in play against him.
Yep.
But when you limit walks, it takes three singles to score a run in Major League Baseball.
And that's what the difference is this year in Porcello. Last year, he didn't walk anybody either. That's been his MO for most of his career. He doesn't walk people, but he grooves pitches right and left. This year, he's got location. He's got that location back. At least he does so far. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Well, I
got
to disagree with you. Last year, he allowed the most hits in Major League Baseball and had the most walks of his entire career.
But how many walks? His worst walk year is not a bad year by most pitchers'
standards. When you couple his worst walk year with the most hits allowed in baseball, you get a 4.5 ERA like he had a season ago.
I just remember looking at his stats at the end of the year saying, and obviously the hit thing jumps out at you, and obviously the wins and losses, the results were terrible. But I just never thought of him as a guy who has problems with control. How many walks did he have last year? About 50?
Yeah, but when you allow the most hits in baseball, then you can't walk people.
Any chance we could say he hit Ramirez on purpose and start a
brawl?
I mean, is that just too bad? I was hoping. I'm like, please, let's say it's on purpose and just give me 2% on purpose. Can I even get 2% on purpose?
You know what? I'll give you 2% of that.
Wow,
that's all.
I'll take it.
I mean, that was an important game for the Yankees last night.
Well, really, relax.
Yeah, but
their
pitching staff got absolutely crushed 3 days in a row. And that, if you want to include that middle game in which they just flat out hit them. Man on first, no score early in the game, one out.
Hanley almost swung. Hanley thought it was a strike.
But if you're going to mask something like that, that's the perfect time to do it. Yeah. I'll give you 2%, but that's all.
Cody in Plattsburgh also gets in on the Town for Tire text line, reminding us also Porcello allowed an obscene amount of home runs last year. So it wasn't just hits, it was also home runs. And another thing that's the key for Porcello this year is what he's doing against leadoff batters. Leadoff batters of innings last year hit .294 against him. So you're looking at one-third of all innings last year that he pitched, the leadoff man was on. That's a recipe to give up a run when the leadoff man gets on. This year, leadoff hitters are hitting under .200 against him. I know it's a small sample size, but there's a big difference between .194 and .294.
Right? And we talked preseason, Porcello, as I said, what are you going to get? Who knows? 14-14, classic typical back in the Detroit days Porcello season. But if you can get that, and Price apparently is fine, just as usual, making something up when he gets hammered. But although we're not going to go there, I know. But isn't it ironic, though, every time Price gets hammered, something's wrong with him physically?
Well, would you think they were making that up?
No, of course they're not. I'm kidding. But I've noticed a trend sometimes when he can't get out of the second inning or in yesterday, 2 days ago, Case first inning, there's always something wrong with him. But I'm just saying that Porcello was, I think Price was the wild card with the most upside potential to have that 18-win season to back Sale up. But if Porcello is going to do that, then goodbye.
You said it was an important game. Would it have made a difference if the Red Sox won or lost yesterday's game, for one game in the standings?
I thought it was important for the Yankees to have some sort of momentum. If they could have stolen 2 out of 3 at Fenway Park, that would have been a beautiful thing for them.
What I think Porcello does is he tips the rotation, because we have anticipated Sale's going to be very good. We have thought, you and I have thought, that Price is going to be very good. And we don't know what to make of 4-5 in the rotation.
That's for sure.
You don't know what Pomeranz comes back, how he is. Can he replicate what he did last year? Who knows what happens at the end of the rotation? If Porcello tips the scales in the positive direction, you end up with 3 of 5 being really good, and Pomeranz, who we hope can at least even be close to what he was a year ago, and then all of a sudden you've got 4 really good starters, but you at least have 3 if Porcello does what he does. And the other thing I find amazing is 2 things, because I'm all into stats today on Porcello. He threw 99 pitches yesterday. He threw 69 strikes. So he was 2-1 on strike-to-ball ratio. That is unbelievable. So you talk about limiting walks, that's where you want to be. And run support, get this one. In Rick Porcello's last 34 starts that he has received 3-plus runs of support, he's 29-0, and the Red Sox are 33-1. So if they hit for him even a little bit, he wins.
But that was like his magic year, though, too, right? That was
Cy Young year. He got an enormous support.
But last year, he got no run support. Right. So the win-loss. Now, he didn't pitch all that great last year, but the win-loss record could have been inflated if the team had hit for him.
And will somebody please explain to me? I'm sitting here just scratching my head at Alex Cora already. What in the world is Porcello coming back?
Yeah, what was that?
Because he had a no-hitter.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Though we see people get yanked out all the time within six innings.
Is he going to throw another three full innings after a 45-minute delay?
Well, he had only thrown 76 pitches to that point. Okay. He wasn't at 110.
But it's the 45-minute.
But he would have been.
Yeah. Look, I would have. Well, it's easy for me to say. I didn't like it optically, him coming back either. But I can rationalize it by saying he'd only thrown 76 pitches. The bullpen was spent from the night before because they got crushed in that game and the Yankees were hitting them all over the ballpark. And Price left after one inning, so the bullpen worked eight full innings the night before.
And the other thing about Porcello that I'll go to your point is that he was throwing so many strikes that his pitch count likely, if he had gone three more full innings, would have been down. But 45 minutes is 45 minutes to me. I couldn't believe it when I saw him come back out there.
I was a little shocked about that also. And then, of course, if they pull him out, we would have been here going, how could you pull him with a no-hitter, Rich? I don't know how you could do something like that.
Not this time of year.
And by the way, my prediction stands that Mookie Betts will bat third and or fourth before
what?
Before April's even done. How about that? I mean, have you seen some of the batting averages? That if they don't start picking it up, you better believe they'll put him there.
Okay, are you talking about for good?
No.
Just one time.
I think they'll maybe mix him in, maybe like, who knows, a Sunday game, Saturday. I don't know. We'll see. But
that's not a stretch.
Well, I said that the other day. You guys looked at me like I had a second head or something like that. All right, first segment's in the books. Brady, what's coming up next?
Coming up next, Rick Marshall. He is the former president of the Friends of Middlebury Hockey, and he manages the Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury. We'll tell you what the Kraft Hockeyville USA is all about and why you want to be voting ASAP.
You're going to want to hear this. We're off and running on a Friday right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Friday. We told you this yesterday in Last Story Standing. Middlebury, Vermont up for Kraft Hockeyville USA. We know what it is, but somebody on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, they've got all the details, everything you could want to know. Let's go out to Rick Marshall, he runs the Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury, and he was the past president of Friends of Middlebury Hockey, which fundraises for youth hockey in our community and manages the Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury. So, Rick, thank you for being with us. Let's ask you this. What the heck are we doing here? What's Kraft Hockeyville?
So it has a long history in Canada. I believe it started in about 2006 in Canada as a contest and made it to the States in 2015. And the idea is that Kraft and the NHL and the NHL Players Association put a search on for the most passionate hockey communities they can find. And it gets narrowed down to a set of finalists, and then there's a popular vote, and someone wins the grand prize and some runner-up prizes.
And Rick, tell our listeners what that grand prize is. What are we going for?
Grand prize this year is $150,000 to be used for improvements in your facility. And then associated with that is your chance to host an NHL preseason game.
So you can vote online. You can vote unlimited times. We've got the link at 1013ESPN.com. We've got it pinned to the top of our Facebook page as well. So you can go on. You can vote unlimited times. Rick Marshall with us. Rick, the other finalists are Clinton, New York's, Brandon, South Dakota, and Shreveport, Louisiana. Rick, this is awesome stuff. And what I love about this also is that the Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury, which we're trying to anoint Kraft Hockeyville USA, it's not only a hockey facility, okay? It's hockey 6 months of the year. It's everything else 6 months of the year as well. So you're not just helping hockey in the community, you're helping everyone in the community.
Yeah, sure. For example, right now the Middlebury Union High School baseball and softball teams are using our facility for, we have a batting cage set up, and so they're using it for practice as the fields are too wet, and we've just had too much snow in the afternoons recently, so they're in the facility right now tuning up for their seasons. Local youth lacrosse is in there as well, as their fields are too wet, and quite soon the Middlebury Union High School will hold graduation in there.
Wow, so it's a all-purpose facility, and that $150,000 grand prize will go a long way to helping out kids and people in the community across a lot of different disciplines, so we're excited about that. The runner-ups also get something, too. Look, we want to win, but what else do the runner-ups get?
Second place, $30,000. Third and fourth place, $10,000 each.
Rick Marshall, manager of Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury here. Kraft Hockeyville USA. That is the title that we are going for right now. Again, you can visit www.krafthockeyville.com. Follow links and instructions to vote. You can also vote on Twitter as well. $150,000 in arena upgrades and the opportunity to host an NHL preseason game in the state of Vermont next year. What would it mean for you as someone who's been involved in this facility for more than 20 years to win this title?
So a little background on what that money would do for us. We've been slowly improving the rink as much as possible as part of user fees each year. And then about every 7 to 10 years, we try to do a major improvement. And 10 years ago, in 2007, we raised enough money to blow out one end of the building, and we put in a set of 4 locker rooms and showers and facilities for teams. And there was a second floor that was built above that, but we did not have enough money to complete that second floor and put in an elevator and all the other associated things that were necessary. So we've left that area unfinished. And for the last year, we've had a fundraising campaign going on to raise $350,000 to finish that second floor. And we're at about $200,000 of pledges right now, so the $150,000 would be perfect. It would put us over the top, and it would allow us to get started on that project. And what that will result in is a completed second floor that would be all glassed in. It would be a heated area. There would be an elevator to get up there. There would be a enhanced concession space for food and drink. There would be public restrooms in that area and a meeting space for teams so they could do chalk talks and have team meetings. And it would really help round out the facility.
Rick, we'll get you out of here on this. Roughly, how many days a year is the Memorial Sports Center in use?
So it's in use almost a full 6 months with ice. And in the summertime, it probably gets about, a quarter of the time use.
Rick Marshall, he manages the Memorial Sports Center in Middlebury, the former president of the Friends of Middlebury Hockey, which fundraises for youth hockey in our community. Kraft Hockeyville USA for 2018 is the contest we're trying to win. $150,000 in facility upgrades, also an NHL preseason game in the state of Vermont. If we can do this, and we can do this together, and we need your help. 1013ESPN.com, pinned to our Facebook page is the link on how to vote. KraftHockeyville.com is the direct website as well. Rick Marshall, we appreciate it. Good luck. We hope to talk to you soon with some really good news.
Thanks so much. We appreciate everybody's participation in voting.
I love it. Yeah. Good interview. I love that Kraft NHL. Everybody's on the same page together. Obviously, Kraft must spend a lot of money.
Well, Lord knows I've spent a lot of money on Kraft. That's the maker of my mac and cheese.
You know, that'd be great. I've been out to that Middlebury. You keep them in business is what you do. I'm going to buy stock in them because of you. That Middlebury rink is very nice.
Yep.
It's very nice down there. So the little bit of improvement would certainly go a long way.
9.5 million votes won the Canada contest. So we got to get there too.
Well, wow. That interview went on, I voted 12 times for Middlebury. It's really mindlessly simple.
And you can vote unlimited times between now and 11 a.m. And
vote
so
now.
They will announce the winner tomorrow. They announce the winner tomorrow during the 2 p.m. Playoff game on NBC.
And you said the winner last year was?
Don't know the winner.
Oh, you don't?
Because they did the winner in Canada. Yeah, I don't even know.
Oh, because I was wondering how the preseason game went last year and all that stuff. So. Because there'd be a good crowd for that down in Middlebury, would there not be?
Yeah, that's the key to me.
Where would they come from? They obviously come from Burlington. They would probably come from Canada, too, obviously.
Well, I'll tell you, if the Leafs or Habs play in it, the Leafs or Habs.
I don't think it would be the Canadians. I could see where that'd be a good
fit.
Well,
it's going to be a team that doesn't have to travel. We're not going to see the Kings or the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, right, unless they happen to be up here, but they're not up here. Well, they won't be up here. But that doesn't mean you won't see like the – how about the Rangers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or could you imagine people just flocking up here from New York and Connecticut?
Rangers camp. They had training camp at Gutterson Fieldhouse for a couple
of winters. If you could pick a game Rangers-Bruins, how about that as your preseason game? Doesn't make a difference who's playing.
I'd rather have Canadians-Bruins.
Would you really?
Yes.
And that might be what it is. But crafthockeyvilt.com, you can just, I'm just sitting here voting one after another. It's literally mindless. You can vote 5,000 times, however you want.
9.4 million if you want to just do it all yourself to what it took in Canada.
Hey, you got a night off? Maybe not really big plans for the weekend? There you go.
All right, Tom Fair, Tire Tech Side, I got to call you to task. Brady, Josh in Milton says, 294 isn't really close to a third, is it? It's 0.4 off, not even 3 out of 10. Oh, Josh and Milton, you want to know something funny about that?
He's getting off my math.
He's wrong. 0.4 is not it. It's 0.04. He's thinking 333. 0.4 would give him over 6-something. But it's 0.04, so he screwed that up. Am I right about that? He screwed up his own math.
Yes, he can't win.
It is.
That's Josh's mistake of the day.
Josh screwed up. He's supposed to say 0.04. Oh, wait, not 0.4, because 0.04 from 294 would be 333.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
How do you know that?
I don't even know.
I know I'm right. I know I'm right.
I have a headache just hearing this.
I know that.
Then what's the difference between 294 and 298? Isn't that 0.04?
294 and 298 would be, no, that wouldn't be, you mean 0.4 at the very end? No, it'd be 0.004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what it'd be on that one. So, yeah. I'm frequently good in math, I think.
Have like a doctorate in math that we don't know about?
I'm like the movie, that accountant guy. What's his name? Ben Affleck. Have you ever seen that movie, Rich?
No.
Have you seen it, Brady? That's a good movie.
Tim in South Burlington says, you are correct.
That's right, I'm correct. How about that?
Do you think if Middlebury wins Kraft Hockeyville, will you host your classes when you teach at Middlebury College at the new arena?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do that. By the way,
I can't even imagine.
I'm only going to allow them to have the preseason game if Rich calls the play-by-play.
I'll twist my arm.
Would you not have fun calling a preseason hockey game?
And will the game be at Memorial or will it be at Kenyon Arena? That would be the interesting part.
Well, Memorial, I doubt, would be done with its 150,000. Do you know that they would play it in Middlebury or just nearish to Middlebury?
I don't know. I would imagine Kenyon would host it. That's a great arena.
I think it only holds
2,000. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that would be fun, man.
Would you not have a blast on that?
I will be standing in line for tickets for that.
I love that. All right, so that was a good interview, and just getting caught up on that. Again, vote as many times as you want. And when does the voting cut off one more time?
11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
11 a.m. Boy, they don't give you much time to get all that stuff
in. Go all night. Make a difference.
All right, a little more Bruins, a little bit more Red Sox real quick, my friend.
Yeah, before we go to break, injury updates. Hanley Ramirez avoided significant injury last night after being hit by Sonny Gray in that first inning. They had x-rays taken after, and they kind of breathe a sigh of relief. They're just a bruise. Hanley likely not going to play today. I haven't seen the lineup yet for tonight against the Orioles, but if he doesn't play tonight, he could play again.
Did you not think
Saturday.
It was broken or like
bad?
Not the hand. Well, I didn't think the wrist was broken. I thought maybe the pinky or something like that.
When a batter just sort of explodes out of the batter's box on it when he gets hit like that, you know it can't be good. I was very surprised to hear he's all right.
By the way, why do people? Because I never did this. Why would people wrap their pinky below the knob?
I don't like that either.
What the hell? What was that? I never heard it. I mean, people used to choke up on the bat. You never had it that low. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't
worries
like that
me a little
either.
More is Nunez. I mean, he was hobbling around, and that's a guy who relies on speed, but he's had a past with the knee issues, and it's been dogging him already this season, and he was hobbling last night.
Yep, I would be worried about Nunez. David Price is going to pitch on Tuesdays. They're going to give him one extra day off from his normal rest. He'll pitch on Tuesday. He's going to pitch in the warmer weather of Anaheim. Alex Cora says that's not the reason why he's pitching in Anaheim, because of the colder weather, or because of the warmer weather, rather. He just wants to give Cora himself peace of mind about Price.
At the risk of you guys yelling at me, because I've been anti-minor leaguers, but any minor leaguers we could bring up for all these injuries, or are we just kind of screwed on that?
Screwed.
Okay, I told you to get rid of all the double-A guys we could bring up just for like a week or two, or that.
Pawtucket is having a rough time.
Do you want to bring up guys and use some of their service time?
You can't tell me that there's a whole AAA team And you can't bring guys up that are going to be serviceable. I'm not buying into that.
By the way, just a thought. Ohtani is pitching Sunday. Is that correct?
He will not pitch against the Red Sox.
You answered my question.
He is pitching on Sunday for the Angels. We will not see him against the Red Sox. We will see him in the lineup, though, against the Red Sox.
Okay. That's too bad. I wanted to see him pitch.
What is that? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yes.
Okay.
No chance for. Thursday.
No.
Any chance for a change on that or the no?
Damn. He pitches every sixth or seventh day.
I'm fine with that as a Sox fan. I mean, look what the Angels are doing, right? What are they, like 11-3 out there?
Come on. You know you want to play against him, bat against him. Don't be crazy. I mean,
that's, well, maybe I would, but I don't want the Red Sox to have to.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Bill Michaels is going to join us, longtime Wisconsin radio host.
Yeah.
He's been syndicated all over Wisconsin. He'll get us ready for Celtics and Bucks.
That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We got a lot to get to, guys. It's a Friday, and we go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, longtime Wisconsin radio host who syndicated all through the state of Wisconsin, it's Bill Michaels. How you doing, Bill?
What's up, guys? It's been a while.
It's been a while. Hey, right off the bat, what's confidence level coming into the series for the Bucks? What's the confidence level that they can get by this series?
Well, for the Bucks team, I mean, they're confident. They were, as a matter of fact, we talked with Jabari Parker last night. He said, you know, kind of after they wrapped up that game in Philadelphia where they just got completely hosed, they were actually laughing and they were loose on the plane and they're looking forward to kind of cleaning the slate. And they feel good because they know, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, Boston's a depleted team. They're banged up right now. They don't have their star player. And, you know, when you have a star player and they don't, it makes things a little bit, or at least seemingly a little bit easier. But I got to be honest, guys, this team has not been able to stack success all season long. If you go back through the history of their team this year, they have not been able to beat teams over 500 in back-to-back fashion or in any fashion consistently all throughout the season. So when it came right down to picking a team to win this thing, I said I'd go Boston in six, only for the fact that I'm still going to be with my arms folded looking at the Milwaukee Bucks, shaking my head, going, show me something. Mm.
Bill, a lot of us in New England think Lou Alcindor still plays for the Bucks. Familiarize us with this team.
Well, you know, obviously Jabari Parker is back. He was a draft choice a few years back and then blew out his knee twice, and he's really worked his way back into being a formidable player, but he's coming off of the bench because they simply don't have any scoring. But anybody who's anybody knows the name Giannis or Adetokounmpo, or the name that nobody can pronounce, but everybody kind of knows. Giannis is a burgeoning superstar. Is he on the same level as, say, a Steph Curry and LeBron James? No. Is he Michael Westbrook? No. He's not even a Kevin Durant because he doesn't have that outside jumper. But when it comes to playing the floor, playing all five positions, being able to move the basketball, being able to get inside and kind of get into you, so to speak, I don't think anybody right now in the NBA is any better. And he's got a great drop step. He's got a good spin move. When's the last time you saw a guy that's 7'1" that could really handle the basketball? We probably haven't seen anything like this since maybe like a Dirk Nowitzki. But he's not Dirk. He can't shoot from the outside. He's not that good. So he's a good young kid. He's 23 years old. We tend to forget that because we act like he's some kind of seasoned veteran who's now on posters in every bedroom in America. But he's a hell of a player. Well, he's still young and he's still raw. And guys, I'll be honest, they keep talking about Jason Kidd got fired because he kept telling his team they're young. They're not young. What they are is immature. They've got a lot of basketball experience. They don't know how to win. Eric Bledsoe comes over from Phoenix. He's a good player, but he's not that damn good. Middleton, his shot goes away at the most needed of times. They don't have any bench scoring. They traded away Greg Monroe. John Henson is a contract liability who was supposed to be a glass cleaner, a shot blocker, and a rebounder, and he can't do any of that on a consistent basis. This team is a team that struggles to win because they haven't figured out how to win.
Bill, how about Malcolm Brogdon? I was there with you. We were at the Super Bowl this year. Malcolm Brogdon, I was watching the game against Minnesota. He got hurt his quad, was out for 2 months. He's back now. What can he provide this team? He was Rookie of the Year last year.
What he does, and you know the funny thing is that we talk about Rookie of the Year, but I don't know if that's his ceiling. the consensus seems to be that that's as good as he's going to get. He's not going to get much better. But what he is, he's got eyes. He's kind of that field general. He's not a great shooter, but he's going to give you anywhere from 14 to 18 a game, depending on how hot he is. But he's a guy that can distribute the basketball. And if he can give you a couple of outside shots, and Middleton gets a little bit hot, and Terry gets a little bit hot, and they can pass the basketball, he's that kind of guy that can maneuver the basketball and be the straw that stirs the drink. But I just don't know how good he is. I mean, last year had a hell of a year, and he had a couple of huge games, and he opened a lot of eyes. But I still just don't know how good he is. Guys, go back. They played down in San Antonio a few weeks back. And when they passed the basketball, they had 26 assists to 16 of San Antonio in that ball game. If that's a team that shows up, they'll win going away. The problem is, in a league in which we've seen the three-point shot become so prevalent, this team has actually out-bucketed teams by 5 and 6 and 7 buckets. But they lose games because they're not proficient from beyond the arc. They're an inside two-point grinded-out team, which sets up kind of well for Boston, because Boston likes to defend, pack it in. They're basically going to say, look, we're going to try to take Giannis out of this thing, and everybody else beat us beyond the arc. And if guys can't shoot beyond the arc, this is going to be a hell of a series.
You know, Bill, I was looking at the stats before you came on. I'm like, man, who's had more on their team, the Milwaukee Bucks or the Green Bay Packers? I mean, geez, you're right. That roster was packed. How many people you've had play for your team this year?
Yeah, they've got everybody back healthy. And, you know, you hope that a guy like Dellavedova can give you some of that defensive presence that you saw in the NBA Finals a few years back playing in Cleveland. You hope that Brogdon comes back and stirs the drink with assists. You hope that Terry gives you some of that wisdom and ability that veterans are supposed to give you. But, you know, they got Shabazz Muhammad, and whether or not he's even going to see the court, we'll have to wait and see. You'd like to see him not being active, because he's going to give you more scoring, because this team doesn't know how to play any defense. All these guys seem to think that if they get everybody involved and they work the basketball, that they start scoring, and then their defense gets better off of that energetic side of the offense. When I think it should be just the opposite. You got to play tough defense. Look, let's be honest, guys. Chicks, they dig the three, especially with time winding down. But there's not one girl in America that's going to go, man, look at that guy cut off the baseline. This team doesn't commit to playing defense, and that is a huge Achilles heel. I look for Al Horford to have a big series, because if he starts cleaning the glass at both ends, look out.
I don't know. I got a prom date for my senior prom, and all I did was rebound back in high school.
So. Yeah, but the difference was that she was blocking every shot.
That's for sure, in so many ways. Bill, Jabari Parker, you talked about guys that have just not been able to get it going for one reason or another. Obviously, the injuries only started 3 games. But a former top 5 pick in the draft, and what does he bring?
Former LeBron James, right?
Right. He was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the guy that was going to be the two cornerstones with him and Giannis and bring a title back to Milwaukee. They haven't had one since 1971, when you had Lou Alcindor and you had the big O Oscar Robertson and the likes here. So it was funny, because we just spent last night with him. He is a very deep guy. He's a very straight shooter. He's a very loyal guy. He did not get along well with Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was a guy that was shaking his hand, telling him how great he is. Meanwhile, Jason Kidd's picking up the phone, trying to trade him out of Milwaukee. There was a lot of contentiousness there. That is now over. The new coach, the interim coach, Joe Prunty. Joe Prunty's going to be here for about 3 minutes after the season ends, and then he's going to be escorted to the door. You've got an ownership group that has not really done things honestly. You know, I mean, go back to when Larry Drew was fired. They were holding a press conference with Larry Drew there while they were making the deal with Jason Kidd, and Jason Kidd was announced as the new head coach. Larry Drew wasn't even fired yet.
Wow.
And that's the way they did things here. And then 3 hours before a game on a Monday night, they bring Jason Kidd to a restaurant downtown Milwaukee and tell him he's not welcome back in the building. And then, oh, by the way, they've already made the change. So, you know, these are the type of things that right now a guy like Jabari Parker, who's focusing on just coming back and being good, he's dealing with, because he's a restricted free agent this year, and they've lied about how much money they offered him, and he's upset with the organization there. So he's playing with a big chip on his shoulder. He really wants to have a breakout series, show the world what he's got, and then go out in the open market and see what people are willing to pay him. And then obviously he's going to come back to the Bucks and say, okay, match it or let me go. And I got to be honest, guys, he really loves the city, and he's not far from his hometown, which is Chicago. but I don't think he trusts that ownership group as far as he can spit out.
Bill Michaels, longtime Wisconsin radio host, syndicated all over the state with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Bill, we'll let you out of here on two more quick questions. Are people right now in Wisconsin more excited for the Milwaukee Brewers or the Packers draft?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the Packers draft. Holy mackerel. I've always said, guys, you could take the Milwaukee Brewers and put them in Game 7 of the World Series. You could put Game 7 of the NBA Finals and the Bucks in it, or you could have a public hemorrhoid surgery at Lambeau Field, and that would get a 25 share in this state of Aaron Rodgers getting his hiney operated on. It's just, it's a football state, and everything else is just something to do until football starts again.
And, Bill, the other one is, we had it circled on our calendar this year when the University of Vermont went out there and played Marquette. Did anybody at Marquette or anyone in Wisconsin even know where Vermont was when they came out here? We were counting down for it, but I don't know if anyone even knew where Vermont was.
Well, Marquette is supposed to be a college of higher education, but they are in the inner city. So people pay a lot of money to go there and figure out where states and where schools are. So I'm sure a few Marquette people did. I don't know if UW-Milwaukee people did, but I know Marquette people did. And I got to be careful because my fiance is from UW-Milwaukee. But we knew where it was. Yeah, we knew what it was coming in. Hey, when you guys come out this way, you got to let me know, man. I got to hook up all over town. We just had some people in town from Minnesota. Even though we treat Minnesota a little different, we just had some fine Italian food. You guys got to come out.
Wow.
For some Italian food.
Yeah, I didn't live too far from there. I was in Northbrook, Illinois. That's like 45 minutes to an hour from you guys.
Now, you know the crossover for good Italian food going from Chicago and the old Italy all the way up into Milwaukee where everybody ran after everybody out of Chicago got arrested.
I love it. Bill, great job, buddy. I always love it. Enjoy the series. Love having you on. Good job. We'll talk to you again.
Let me know when. We'll talk to you soon, guys.
All right.
Take care, Bill.
He's a lot of fun. You know what? If you want schnitzel, that's where you go also. Go up to Milwaukee. No, I'm getting around.
Oh, no.
They got some good schnitzel up there, too. I'm not.
Rockwurst.
Wasn't Laverne and Shirley in Milwaukee?
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley was up in Milwaukee also. It's actually a fun place. I'm not kidding around.
Oh, no question. Is it the beer capital of the country?
It is. It's a beer capital. It's a fun place. People are into their sports up there. It's a good time.
And where else do public figures and radio personalities talk about public hemorrhoid surgeries?
Hey, real quick, because I know we're short on time, I'm going Celtics and seven.
Me too.
I'm going Celtics and six.
Okay. I can see right around six or seven. It's going to be a tough draw there.
Yep.
All right, though, we'll come back. We'll finish out the hour because Des Bryant's a free agent. Can he be coming to the Patriots? Ugh. We'll let you know next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Dez is no longer a Dallas Cowboy. They let him go. They're going to save about 8.5, 8.6, I'm not sure, give or take, $100,000 in cap room.
Yep.
That's not even what his salary was going to be. No surprise here. Dez is taking it personally. He says, I'm going to see you two times a year. My thing is, if you can't, and then he said he was going to get a wide receiver coach to learn how to run better routes. I'm like, if making $100 million didn't motivate you, I don't know, because you got insulted, it's going to motivate you. I immediately put out, watch the Patriots go out and get Dez Bryant. I could see that. Ugh. I mean, sure as you could sit here, that's going to happen.
No, everything he's just saying is just to try to fire management up for some team to grab him. And, of course, the fact that he's saying, I'll see you twice a year, means he clearly wants to stay with either the Skins, the Eagles, or the Giants, or go there anyway. I don't know. I look at it. Isn't he still going to be about an $8 million cap hit, Brady?
I think once you get released, he's that to the Cowboys, but his new team restructures the deal.
Okay.
But I don't think the Patriots are going to get him for $600,000, which is what they
want. But I'll tell you what, he better learn to run better routes if he's going to team up with Tom Brady.
Nah, I don't see him with the Patriots. Not at all. Basically, that's it. We got to go to break, but I don't see him with the Patriots. The attitude, the money, if he doesn't run good routes. They've also got six wide receivers or seven wide receivers battling for probably five or six spots as it is. And whatever's in the draft, I think, is more valuable than Dez Bryant.
Well, he made it sound like it's going to be Philadelphia or Washington. I don't know. I don't see Philadelphia.
I can see Washington signing, and they're always into big home run signings. They've been into big signings to downplay the Cowboys. And, look, that's a team with not a lot of offensive weapons, and Alex Smith needs them.
He'll get over it, and then he'll go whoever gives him the most money. That's the way it usually works out there. Hour one in the books, cruising along on this Friday. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. And then what's going to come up after that, Brady?
We'll talk with Will Reeve. Will Reeve, ESPN personality, Middlebury College graduate. He's putting in his vote for Middlebury to be Kraft Hockeyville USA.
And we also got Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. All that coming up right here on In the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Friday. Remember, coming up later on, Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. We dumbed it down. We dumbed it down.
This is the kind of one that you really like.
I do. I do like this one. Last week, we opened up the prize vault, and Brady happened to find a pair of Red Sox tickets in the prize vault. Did you not?
I did, and nobody won them. Wow. Oh, no. Oh, no, wait.
No, nobody.
Oh, no, yeah, nobody won them.
Nobody won them.
Nope, nobody won them.
What could possibly be in the prize vault this week? I do not know.
Maybe one of our 101.3 ESPN hats.
Wow, I like that.
Maybe.
The new ones. Are we going to save time later on? I don't know if we will, but I'm not a big fan of Dancing with the Stars, but I certainly want to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know what he's going to do, but I want to see
it. Seriously, in the heat? That guy, him, for a guy who Tonya, likes to stay out of the spotlight. Yeah.
Tonya Harding and Josh Norman among the with the Stars.
They had some insane – I don't know if you guys remember this, but it lasted about 2 weeks. But they had a Diving with the Stars.
Yes,
kind of
and Kareem
thing.
Was on that.
And
Kareem
was diving off of like a 40-foot high board. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, they give you $50,000, and then every dive was like $10,000 or something like that. So that's why he was doing it.
And he hurt himself.
I was going to say he almost got killed.
Yes, he got smashed killed. Into the board
must
or something.
Must have wanted the money real bad.
You're 7'2", and you're 70. Don't do that.
All right, Brady, introduce our next guest.
Well, don't wait. First.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're going to get him in a second.
Yeah.
Are you scared of Friday the 13th?
You know, I was going to pull superstitions. I when I was a kid, I was always afraid of number 13. Now, sometimes I'll put it on a jersey or something like that. I'm not as afraid of Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of Friday the 13th at all.
You're not. Well, you're superstitious, though.
Yeah, I'm superstitious, but I'm not afraid of Friday the 13th.
No, it just doesn't seem.
Because if you Google sports superstitions, there's about like 52 million of them.
Well, yeah. I have to leave the gym on a made basket. So if I've missed my last shot in a game, I will go find a basketball and then shoot on a side hoop somewhere.
I have to make my last shot before the game starts, but that's a gimme for about everybody.
How long does that take? They have to hold the game up for a half an hour.
Yeah, but I've got other super, like before I go to bed.
You have to shower 8 times a day.
Besides the showering and changing my socks all the time, I do something where I knock wood with my fist 4 times with my right hand, 4 times with my left hand, and then 8 times with both hands.
Before I throw a...
What the hell?
Before I throw a pitch, my shoulders are so bad, but before I throw a pitch, I have to crack my arm twice.
Oh, jeez.
Every time.
You don't you don't do anything, Rich?
Nothing. The whole thing is silly.
I usually drive around the block before I leave my house twice because even though I know I put the garage door down, I always have to double check.
Yeah.
Twice?
I'll leave and then I'll come back and double. Even though I'll watch it go down and not pop back up. No cat ran under it. And I'll look at it and say, it's down. I'll still circle around the block and come back and double check.
Well, I left the stove on, but at least the garage door is down.
Yeah, well, the hell with the stove. As long as the garage door is down, that's all that matters. Brady, go ahead and introduce our next guest.
Yeah, Will Reeve is on the phone with us now. He's an ESPN personality. You see him on SportsCenter from time to time. You hear him on ESPN Radio. He is also a Middlebury College graduate. And we're having Will on because Middlebury up for Kraft Hockeyville USA. And we told you about it in hour number one with Rick Marshall. But you can go online, 1013ESPN.com, learn how to vote. And if Middlebury is named Kraft Hockeyville USA for 2018, it's going to be a $150,000 in arena repairs for the Memorial Sports Center and an NHL game in Middlebury in 2018. So Will Reeve, Middlebury College graduate, ESPN personality, on the huddle with us. Now, Will, thank you for being with us. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm great, man. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I saw you championing this cause on Twitter today, and that's why I reached out to you. Now, look, you're not from Middlebury, and this doesn't have anything exclusively to do with the college, so why are you so moved by this movement?
I love Middlebury. I went to school there, class of 2014, and fell deeply in love with the town and the state of Vermont overall. It's a part of me. The people of Middlebury and the state of Vermont are my people, and there is no better place to host a NHL preseason game and no more deserving place for $150,000 of upgrades than Middlebury. So any way I can help is is great. And if that means tweeting about it and that means talking to you guys about it and pushing it out to my network to have everyone smash that vote button for Middlebury, I'm all in. I love that place.
What would it mean to the community to be able to have this recreational facility, complete upgrades that right now it doesn't have the funds to be able to complete?
I mean, it would be huge. Obviously, the answer is in your question right there. If it is the town not having the funds, you get $150,000 worth of funds. That means that the town will have a state-of-the-art place for the community to gather, not just for hockey, but for other events. And people who know Middlebury know they love their sports. I grew up just outside New York, so I'm all New York all the way in terms of my professional team allegiances. So I was always chagrined to see the Sox and Pats, Bruins decals and shirts and hats everywhere, but I understand the passion and I love that. I always respect the passion. So it's a sports-crazed town that really deserves a place that reflects how seriously they take their sports as a part of the community overall.
And how cool would it be to have that NHL preseason game in town? We don't know who the teams would be. I'd have to imagine maybe the Bruins and Canadiens could be involved because they're the two closest teams in proximity. But how cool would that be for a place that doesn't have professional ice hockey?
I mean, yeah, I'm going to need it to be the Bruins and the Rangers. Yeah. so I'm going to make sure that that happens. Not that I have any pull, but I'll get some by the fall. And, I mean, it would be great. It would just be the coolest thing. For that town, fewer than 10,000 people, tiny college, pretty removed from anywhere with professional sports, to have the big leagues coming through would just be a huge event. I know I'll be there for sure. I keep thinking of the movie Mystery Alaska.
Yeah.
When the Rangers come up to Mystery Alaska to play Russell Crowe and his band of Misfits on the outdoor pond. Middlebury, it's not Alaska, but there are a whole bunch of ponds. I spent many a weekend and weekday, don't tell my professors, skating out on Lake Dunmore just south of Middlebury when the weather was cold, which it obviously often was. And some of my best memories I have in my life, some of the greatest friendships that I have made in my life come from moments around hockey, around sports, around the community feeling of that at Middlebury. And I know that that's not unique to me, and it's not even unique to Middlebury, but this is a Middlebury deal, so we're gonna pump Middlebury all the way up.
Will, one of the things that is the coolest aspect to me is something you hit on earlier, is that this facility, the Memorial Sports Center, which we're trying to get the $150,000 in upgrades for, is not just a hockey facility. It's hockey 6 months of the year, and it's everything else 6 months of the year. It's, you know, high school teams are holding baseball practice there because the weather is still bad. Lacrosse teams are there. Summer camps are there for kids as well. This is an all-inclusive place, and that's why I think we need to win so bad.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's a community booster in every sense of the idea that, yeah, they've got hockey. It would be cool and awesome to have the pros roll through for a game, but that's one game in one day, and while that will undoubtedly be awesome, it's the other 364 days of the year that are going to benefit the most, and it's directly going to impact in a positive way the community. And that's why it matters so much. And anyone who's grown up around rinks like I have, I grew up playing hockey, and I obviously still love hockey. I host a show here in New York on MSG Network called the MSG Hockey Show. I'm all in on hockey, and I believe in its benefits for people as human beings, not just to play sports and be active, but to have a sense of community, have a sense of sportsmanship and fairness and right and wrong and triumphing over adversity and all these other lessons that hockey or any sport really teaches you. So to have a place that's befitting the goals of what community-involved sports entail, there would be nothing better. And I think the Middlebury community on the whole will be so positively impacted by this. And to have a place, of course, Middlebury College has a state-of-the-art arena, but due to a bunch of different factors, it's not open to the entire public all the time or even really ever. And that is what it is, but that doesn't mean that Middlebury shouldn't have a great alternative option for the community at large, and this is what that would be.
Will Reeve, ESPN personality. You see him on SportsCenter. You hear him on ESPN Radio, and now host of a hockey show at an MSG in New York as well. He's here with us on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. We're trying to make Middlebury Craft Hockeyville USA. You can go online, 1013ESPN.com, figure out how to vote. You can vote until tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Will, you know, between you, who we talked to once before, and Kobe Altman, the GM of the Cavaliers, who we talked to before, Middlebury doing a lot of big things on the national level.
I thank you for throwing me in the same sentence as the GM of the team that is likely to come out of the Eastern Conference in the NBA playoffs. I appreciate that. Yeah, man, I think I owe a lot to Middlebury, actually, and that's no spin. Most of what I do on a daily basis is grounded in my ability to write and to think critically, and I really honed those skills at Middlebury. I really love the place. I'll actually be up at Middlebury next Thursday, April 19th. There's a senior awards dinner, and there is an award named after my mom, Dana Morris C.D. Reeves. She was class of 1984, and there's been an award in her honor since the year she passed away in 2006, and ever since I was a freshman, I've presented that award at that dinner. It goes to a senior woman whose characteristics and body of work in the community most accurately reflect what my mom stood for, and it's always an honor for me to present that. And I'll be up there on Thursday, and I'm going to try to get up there early, play around at the Ralph, hit the Middlebury bookstore, and I'll have to come by the Middlebury rink and check it out, hopefully for the last time in its current state before it gets a major upgrade that it deserves.
Will, we'll get you out of here on two more questions, one sports-related, one other. You said you're New York to the core. Big week between Boston and New York this week. What'd you think of Yankees-Red Sox and the brawl on Wednesday?
I thought it was epic, man. That's exactly what that rivalry needs. It's exactly what the sport needs, especially in this early time. People go, it's 162 games. Wake me up when it's September, October. Especially with the Masters going on leading into the NHL and NBA playoffs and the NFL draft, like, baseball gets sort of marginalized, and I'm a huge baseball fan, so having the two biggest teams in the sport fighting out there on the field, you can debate the merits of actual fighting and whether that's good for people to consume, but it is good for the attention the game gets, and I love baseball. I love Yankees, Red Sox. I wish that the games were closer than they've been between the two teams this year. 6-3 last night in favor of the Sox. It got a little close late. I was rooting, obviously, for the comeback for the Yankees, yeah. But it was really fun to watch, I'll be honest, man. I don't have much more to say than that. I love good old-fashioned baseball brawls.
Well, when we talked last, we talked about your work with the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, which benefits those affected by spinal cord injuries. And you, as a result of your connection with the Travis Roy Foundation, have played in the Travis Roy Wiffle Ball Tournament. You weren't up there last year, but we played in it, and it was an unbelievable time. Can we pencil you in for this summer up there at Little Fenway?
I mean, I don't know. If you're there, I'm going to have to steer away because I want to win, and I feel like you guys are pretty good. I would love to be there, man. I forget. I had a conflict this past summer, so I wasn't able to make it up, but I sent in my donation, and Travis and his foundation and his family have my support every day of the year. So I am. You can pencil me in to answer your question. Yes, I'll do what I can to be there, even if it's just in a cheerleading, beer-drinking capacity.
Will Reeve, ESPN personality, Middlebury College graduate. Again, Middlebury up for Craft Hockeyville USA, trying to get $150,000 in rink upgrades for the Memorial Sports Center and an NHL game here in the state of Vermont in 2018 in the preseason. Will, we appreciate the time, the support, the love of Middlebury, and we'll talk to you again.
You got it, man. And people, you can vote as many times as you want, so smash that vote button, get an NHL game to Middlebury. Boom, done.
There you go. Will Reeve, everybody. ESPN personality, Middlebury College graduate. How come he didn't play faster than the spinning bullet? Can able to leave tall buildings in a single bound, Rich?
I wonder if he can ever get through an interview without that being played. Probably thrilled that Brady didn't get that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's his own person, aren't he?
I know, but his dad was so famous, Brady. I'm telling you, let me explain something to you. His father was like a sex symbol, was he not?
He
was. The women loved him.
Yeah.
He was good-looking guy.
He had a good life.
Oh, yeah.
Until he didn't.
Yeah, good-looking guy.
He has he has a mother who he loves too. He doesn't need to hear about his dad being a sex symbol.
No, well, but I'm just saying, he was a good-looking guy. He was a big Hollywood star. He was.
Do you ever need to hear about your dad being a sex symbol?
No, but he was a big Hollywood star back then. I mean, there was women just loved that guy.
Maybe we should ask Shay. I mean, he probably gets tired of it.
Speaking of sex symbols, Mark Sanchez was one time a sex symbol, just suspended 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy.
Wow. And real quick, let me get this out. Marcus Flowers of the New England Patriots decided to put this tweet out. Very simple. It says, "Dez, come check Foxborough out, big dog."
Well, I mean, I don't know what Marcus Flowers said, but Marquise Flowers
Marquise
Flowers.
Pick of the day.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Can you win?
I'd like to.
You just submitted that.
Yes, I have submitted that.
Does that tweet mean anything to you guys or not really?
No, because players do that all the time.
Yeah, but some players actually do recruit. Well, in the NBA, they do recruit.
Nah, he's just a pal. He's not thinking about the money factor. He's not thinking about any of that. He's just, I want my buddy here.
I don't know that he's his buddy. He wants good players with the Patriots.
Yeah, but where are you? Well, we've already had this discussion. Where are you going to put Dez Bryant in that pile?
No, I would not bring in Dez Bryant. I don't think they have a need at wide receiver, but
I'm curious.
Players want good players.
They do. I think Tom Brady would want him.
Really?
Yeah.
The way he runs routes?
First of all, the guy's number one in touchdowns for the Cowboys, right? Overall.
What has he done for the last 3 years?
Well, okay. Maybe he's also been hurt a little bit. I don't know. The Patriots love getting people on bargain basement prices.
Can you imagine Dez going over there furious and getting in Belichick's grill? You know how fast he'd be off that team?
You know what? I think he's past that a little bit.
Really?
Oh, he's been in the league 8-9 years now.
You might want to think about that if that's the case. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to spend that money. If you can get him at about, how much was he making? It was a hell of a lot of money.
He's going to make $16 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
If he wants $1,600, I'll take him.
$16 million.
Can you imagine?
Wow. That is.
And he's still mad.
Yeah. He's taking it personally.
He's mad because he caught the ball. Dez caught it. Hashtag Dez caught
it. He is mad over that. He's mad also because Jerry, I think, wants to keep him. And it was Steven and the rest of the crew that didn't want to keep him. And, of course, Jason Garrett probably playing somewhere down the middle like he always does.
Yeah, Jerry said this was one of his toughest decisions. Says he's a dear friend to me. He says, I can only think of a handful of people I feel as strongly as I do about Dez.
Oh, he says that about everybody.
Apparently only a handful.
I love that rumor about how Jerry was going up to the podium to hand in the card for Johnny Manziel, and they had to wrestle away the card away from him. They had to like jump on top of them and beat the crap out of him or something like that. I love that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, what did you make of the Bruins' dominance last night?
Yes, sir.
Big time. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go! All right, remember now, coming up next, Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, definitely dumbed down. Definitely
not really
dumbed
next.
Definitely dumbed down.
It's in like 15 minutes.
Okay.
Not really next.
I want to get people to get ready for it. We dumbed it down, and you never know what we're going to find in the prize vault, which I do not have the key to the prize vault nor the combination.
I don't
even know
where the vault is here, and I've worked in this building for 143
years. Very upsetting. You probably
slept in the prize vault at one point.
I certainly have slept in this building.
I know where the prize vault is. It's behind the Ken Griffey Jr. picture on Brady's wall. You just have to move it to the side.
Which
you'll see
one?
The safe. You'll see the safe. And it's right there.
Which part of the junior shrine that is his office are we talking about?
I'm telling you, there's something in that safe that's good. There's got to be something good. We have tons of stuff in there. So Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, coming up soon. Bruins win, though. How about that? 5-1. And that's how you start a run at winning a Stanley Cup, by dominating game one, out shooting the opponent. What was it, like 50-32 or something?
It was 54-30 in 5-on-5 situations. I mean, it's pretty the Bruins were 2-1 in scoring chances last night. And it was evidenced, and obviously in the final score, but they took full advantage.
They came out complete with their hair on fire. I mean, it was beautiful. As a Bruins fan, I was like, yes, you could. I mean, you could tell right away. It's like, yep, there they are. That's because they've been sort of okay. Of course, the injury bug was huge towards the end of the season, But they've got most of their guys back. They've got the key guys back. And, man, if they're going to play like that, nobody's stopping them.
I think Tuukka got a little lucky one time. I think it was 1-0, and he was sitting on his butt. They had misfired a couple of times. You know, not that that would have made a difference, but I always wondering if you tie it up or you take a 2-1 lead, yeah, how things are different. You know, that it's 5-2 then. You know, maybe you're playing rushed or something. I always think it kind of changes the whole momentum of the game. But Tuukka was also great, but he did get a little lucky a couple times there.
Bruins now 12-3 all time versus the Maple Leafs in game one, which is amazing to me that they've had 15 separate playoff series against the Maple Leafs. And obviously, you go back a long time to the original 6 days. A couple things obviously stood out. To me, the key to the game was the penalty situation. Yep. Maple Leafs, they took 6 penalties, which really isn't that many, but when you allow 3 power play goals, nobody wins when you allow 3 power play goals. And I know it's very cliche, but when you go into football games, you say, well, the team that doesn't turn it over has the best chance to win. You can't take penalties, especially on the road, and expect to win. 3 power play goals, you're doomed right there. I don't think I need to say anything else other than 3 power play goals, and that's the story.
Yeah, and Azem Kadri, as usual, being an absolute punk at the end, and putting Wingles into another planet, as he often does. But, yeah.
Do you think he's going to get multiple games for that?
I think he might get one.
He has been He's had a 9-year NHL career, and he has been fined, suspended multiple times. But he has not committed any infractions in the last 18 months, so that does not mean that he is no longer, like, he essentially has a clean slate with the NHL because he's had 18 months of no dirty play. So since he's not a, quote, repeat offender anymore in the NHL system, do you think he gets two? People are calling for 2 games.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's a whole different ball game in the first round of the playoffs. If you're going to give him 2 games, and he can score, he's a guy that gives you 50 or 60 points a year along with being a punk. The only way I see that as a 2-game infraction is, and it was sort of Marchand-like in the sense that he had time to think it out before he made the hit, and he came at him from across the ice and nailed him when he was down. But I think he gets one simply because it's the postseason.
I think the Bruins look better than the Lightning and the Predators. Not by much, though. Both those teams dominated also. So
that goal by Forsberg, yes, for the Predators.
Well, how about the goal by, I'm trying to think who it was, by Toronto, that first goal by Zach Hyman, the only goal Toronto got last night. Wow.
The goal by Forsberg for Nashville, I haven't seen a goal that pretty since Jocelyn Lamoureux in the gold medal game of the Olympics.
Oh, jeez.
On the Kadri hit, I mean, the rules clearly state a hit resulting in contact with an opponent's head where the head was the main point of contact is not permitted. So, I mean, Wingles is down. Number one, it's a dirty play because he's on his knees. He doesn't have the puck. He's gotten rid of the puck, and that was clear to see. He's away from, he's got his head at the boards, and he hits him first in the head. That would give you reason right there, I think, to be grounds for a suspension.
Yeah. I'm curious if they'll make some type of announcement on that, right? Whether he gets suspended. Yeah.
Very soon. Yeah, game 2 is tomorrow.
Well, and the meeting with the NHL Player Safety Committee was today.
And the other thing to think about, too, that was a frustration situation. They're down big in that game. The game's over. And, you know, Wingles was no choir boy in all of this. He hit Marner, who was obviously a huge part of the series for Toronto, with a pretty good elbow that floored Marner, and then Kadri makes a run at Wingles. Also, credit to Zdeno Chara. I mean, you watch that replay. After that hit, Kadri is standing right there with Chara, and Chara just gives him a glove in the face, and that was about it. If I had been Chara, I would have absolutely pounded that guy.
The other thing that was amazing is we know that the Bruins' top line is good, but we also have said that Toronto's top line is good. When you look at Nylander and Matthews et al., I mean, they are a good and productive, very productive first line also. What amazed me was just how good the Bruins were against the Maple Leafs' top defensive pairing. When you start looking at numbers and saying that, I mean, when Morgan Riley was on the ice, 29-3 was the shot advantage for the Bruins when Morgan Riley was on the ice. When the both of them were together, when Hainsey and Riley were on, it was 17-3. Yes. They played together for 9.5 minutes and were outshot 17-3. The Bruins lines, when the Maple Leafs' top defensive pairing was on, absolutely dominated.
I think the 3 is the number that shocks me more than anything because Riley isn't out there to play defense. He's a score-first guy. He's been one of their top blue liners offensively all year long, but they just shut him down. The forecheck was stifling. Hainsey, an excellent defensive defenseman, had nothing going on out there, and it was just a complete domination. There were moments where Tuukka had to come up big, a couple of back-to-back power plays for Toronto in the second period. He came up big. But other than that, man, you look at that and you see that as a Bruins fan and you go, just put that in a bottle. Save it for tomorrow night.
If you're a Boston fan, you're having a good Saturday. You get to see the Red Sox game. And then, of course, the Bruins playing home game, too.
Yeah.
Just on a little side note, because I know you think your Mariners are like snake bitten and all that.
Absolutely. 100%.
I don't have the numbers on this. Maybe you guys could find it real quick. The Washington Capitals are perhaps the I don't even know where to begin. I mean, Alex Ovechkin, has he ever what's the stat on that? Like, has he ever gotten past the second round? They seem to lose games. They have no business losing. They lose series. They have no business losing. If I was a Capitals fan, I'd take a dull butter knife to my wrist. They are just so snake bit, and there is a trend how they can never ever get out of.
He's right.
No, he's not wrong in saying that there's a difference between being snake bitten and being choke artists, okay? Snake bitten means you never get a chance.
The
Mariners have four starters on the disabled list, and last year missed their entire starting rotation for more than a month. That's bad luck. That's what snake bitten is.
That's exactly right.
Choke artist is what you're saying.
Well, what are the Capitals choke artists then?
They're awful. They've had year after year. I mean, they've won the President's Trophy. I mean, and then they go in there and they just stink. I mean, they get up 2-0.
They were up 3-2 in this game.
Well, Kuznetsov scores twice within about a minute and a half in the first period. It's 2-0. I think they allowed four shots on goal for Columbus in the first period, and the next thing you know, it's a tie game, and then they lose in overtime.
If you feel bad for the Capitals fans, it's unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, that's a lousy draw for them in the first round. Columbus is on fire.
Yeah, that's not even the point, though. It didn't make a difference who they were playing in the first round. It always happens to them.
Braden Holtby. That's a big story. I bet he's there for game two.
All right. We got Power Play coming up next. The new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. You might as well start calling now. 802-655-6672. Should I give them the three possible answers? I'll go ahead and give you a start on that.
Yes.
So I'm going to show you how easy it is. Since the Celtics are playing the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round, we're going to give you a name of a player. All you have to do is tell us, that did that player play for the Milwaukee Bucks, the Boston Celtics, or both? That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. I just give you a player. I give it to Bob Cousy. I mean, you have to figure it out. It's not that tough. So you better call. I mean, we should get a winner right off the bat. I mean, caller number one, 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game with the country next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
This is Back to the Huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep in the Country. Let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you're moving too fast, we don't care. And you'll still hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you guys screwed up. You guys got question four wrong. We don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you get all 10 questions right, well, what do they win, Brady?
All kinds of stuff in the prize vault. I got the brand new 101.3 ESPN hats, courtesy of Embroidery Works at Joann's. If somebody can actually win, I might throw one of those in.
Nice. Last week we found Red Sox tickets in there, too. So.
Some of Varney's old clothes are up for grabs
there
this
you
week.
Go. Let me give you the three possible answers, since it's going to be the Celtics and Milwaukee in round one. The three possible answers, the Bucks, the Celtics, or both. The Bucks, the Celtics, or both. So I'll give you a name of a player. All you have to do is tell me where they played. So, Brady, if I said to you, Larry Bird, you would say?
Celtics.
Gosh, he's so good at this game.
Amazing.
How does
he
do it?
So he never played for the Bucks?
If I said to you, Giannis, the Greek freak, and I don't
know his last name?
I don't want to know his last name, and I don't care. Giannis, what would you say there, Rich?
I would say he's a Buck, unfortunately.
You are so good at this game. Yeah. You have also never missed a question. Brady, if I said to you, Quinn Buckner, what would you say to that?
Both?
Yes! Yeah, boy, it was on the line there. You had not got a question wrong in 2 years. He got it right. People, do you see how simple it is? Don't make it any harder than it's got to be. The Bucks, the Celtics, or both. The Bucks, the Celtics, or both. So, without further ado, it is time for power play. We'll get a winner in two calls. It's so
I predict four. I do think we'll get a winner, though.
I predict right 11. Off the bat.
No. Stop it. Stop it. It's easier than 2 plus 2 is 4. That's how easy it is. Let's start at the top. Ben is in Shelburne. Ben, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, Ben?
Bucks, Celtics, both.
Confidence level through the roof.
Wow.
We might have a winner right off the bat. That's what... Ray Allen.
That's going to be both.
Jason Terry.
Both.
Tony Delk.
Celtics.
Vin Baker.
Both.
Sam Cassell.
Both.
Is he looking at my answers? Is he looking at my answers? Tito Horford.
Tito Horford, that's me, both.
Oh, my goodness.
He was on such a roll.
I thought for sure he was going to get everyone right.
He even tried to fool him with a couple of boats in there.
And he wasn't even hesitating.
No. Who the hell is Tito Horford?
Tito's hard liquor. You never heard of him?
Tito's vodka. Horford.
I mean, this guy wasn't even hesitating.
No, he knew. And they were all both, pretty much.
I think he was looking over my shoulder. Is there a camera in here?
You know, it's funny you said that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. It's like, how does he know these immediately?
Maybe with the show's on TV now, and they can see it on the answers on TV. All right, that opens up a line, 802-655-6672. Let's go to Randy and Winooski.
Yep.
Randy, are you ready for power play?
Yes.
What are the three answers, Randy?
Celtics, Bucks, or both.
Well, you heard half the answers already, so you should be the winner, right?
Okay, sure, I don't know that.
Confidence level, just medium.
Yeah.
Just medium.
I'm not sure he was listening.
Ray Allen.
Both.
Tony Delk.
Both.
You messed with him.
Well, I just changed one, Rich.
You screwed him up by going out of order. So you got to watch this guy. He does this every week.
Would you want me to just go back and order again?
No, but still, that's kind of nasty.
Oh, it was the second one. He got too comfortable.
I know. Basically, it's all both.
I mean, suppose I would have done with the first one. Come on. Now, the first guy got five right. You can't just rest on his laurels. I mean, you got to earn it a little bit, for crying out loud. All right, 802-655-6672. Who's next up, Brady?
John in Winooski.
John in Winooski. John, are you ready for power play?
I am.
What are the three answers, John?
Bucks, Celtics, or both.
Oh, confidence level through the roof. Yeah. Through the roof.
Just be careful behind the wheel.
Here we go. Jason Terry.
Both.
Ray Allen.
Both.
Vin Baker.
Both.
Tony Delk.
Celtics.
Nice.
Sam Cassell.
Both.
Tito Horford.
Bucks.
Wally Zerbiak.
Dylan.
Oh! Got that one wrong. That opens up a line, 802-655-6672. Are you sure about the answers to question 7?
Yes.
What, Zerbiak?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's look it up. Great, so I have to spell his name. Thanks.
Okay, no, at least I pronounced it right. How about that? All right, Brady, who's next up?
Tim in South Burlington.
Tim in South Burlington. Tim, are you ready for power play?
I am.
What are the three answers, Tim?
Bucks, Celtics, both.
Oh, confidence level through the roof.
He's going to win.
Oh, you're going to win. You're totally going to win. Sam Cassell.
Both.
Vin Baker.
Both.
Tony Delk.
Celtic.
Jason Terry.
Both.
Ray Allen.
Both.
Tito Horford.
Celtic.
Guy before him just gave the answer.
I know that. People are just guessing both now, all over the place.
Well?
They're guessing both.
I feel like David Price. I got a little numbness in my right hand.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Are you having an off day?
I don't know. It got a real cold in here. I'm losing circulation.
802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. We should have had a winner by now. Especially after the first guy put up a 5 spot on there.
By the way, I just confirmed after it took 5 minutes to figure out how to spell his name, Wally Zerbiak. The answer that's on the sheet in front of you is correct.
I was mostly sure. I was a little. There was a little doubt in my mind whether it was another answer or
Who
not.
Who spells their name?
S-C-Z-E-R-B-I-A-K. Wally does. Yes, Wally does. Good looking guy though. He does the Knicks, New York Knicks stuff on TV. I don't know if you saw him, but and good-looking guy. Was not a bad pro.
Just like you, Arnie.
Yes, very, very much like me. Brady's going to answer the phone, 802-655-6672. If you want to jump in for Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, play the music, Brady. And who's next up?
Andrew in Winooski.
Andrew in Winooski. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Well, he's not just there. He's absolutely there.
What are the three answers, Andrew?
Celtics, Bucks, and Bulls.
Oh, wow. Again, confidence level through the roof. We're getting good callers today.
Said that about the last guy.
Yeah, nobody pulled the trigger. All right, here we go. Tony Delk.
Celtics.
Ray Allen.
Both.
Jason Terry.
Both.
Tito Horford.
Bucks.
Vin Baker.
Both.
Sam Cassell.
Both.
Wally Zerbiak.
Celtics.
Yes.
Greg Monroe.
Both.
Nice.
Ronald Flip Murray.
Bucks.
Nice.
Last one. For all the marbles, Gary Payton.
Both.
We got a winner! Oh, my goodness! Come on.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you were guessing on the last one, were you not?
Flip Murray?
No, I was picturing him from my childhood in NBA Live.
There
you
go. Oh, so you tried to figure it out that way. Yeah, well, good job.
Wow, the gloves.
Put him on hold, Brady. Let's go ahead and get all his information. As we go through the answers, Ray Allen.
Who the hell's Flip Murray?
Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. Oh. Former Super. Did he play for UCLA?
Apparently he played for the Bucks.
Did he play for UCLA?
I'd have to check.
Wow.
Look that up, Rich. If Ronald Flip Murray played for UCLA, for some reason I think he did.
He went to Shaw University and Meridian Community College.
Close. Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's close.
Two.
All right, let's give you the answers. Ray Allen is both. Brady played for the Celtics and played for, obviously, for Milwaukee. Jason Terry is now on Milwaukee, in case people don't know that. Tony Delk.
That's a tough one.
A former Kentucky great.
Yes, former Kentucky. Was on the team like 96 with Rick Pitino.
Played with the Celtics. Whew. Vin Baker.
Yep. University of Hartford.
I was about to say former Hartford. Of course, you knew that one, Rich.
Oh, yeah. Now, I remember him, obviously, as a Buck and then a Sonic. I don't remember him as much with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
He was there for like 02 to 04.
Yeah, not long. He had his games. Could pound the boards when he felt like it.
You know,
he now owns Starbucks franchises.
I was going to say, whenever you read about former players and owning franchises in fast food, you read about Vin Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he owns stuff.
Camp Uha.
Sam Cassell.
Yeah, that's both.
I think of him as a Houston Rocket.
Yep. Me too.
I think of him as a Milwaukee Buck.
Yeah. Well. He's well known there too. Tito Horford.
Tito Horford? Is that Al's dad or something?
No, part of the Jackson Five. Oh, no, wait. That's somebody else. That's completely somebody else. Milwaukee. He was a big star, actually.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. I don't know what college. I can't remember what college. Virginia?
No.
I want to say Virginia, but I don't know.
For
some reason,
Virginia. Miami. And
Miami. There you go.
He is Al Horford's
son. No, I mean, son, father, right?
No. No, but he is also of Dominican ancestry.
Well, they must be related.
His father was a Bahamian. Oh, yeah, it is.
I'm sorry. It is
immigrant.
Al. Yeah, it is Al.
Okay. His son, Al Horford, went to Florida. Yep.
So there you go. Yeah. Wally Zerbiak, the Celtics.
Yeah, the Timberwolves is also who he played
for. Yes, that's who it was.
He was a scoring machine with Minnesota.
And former Miami of Ohio great, I
would
say. Greg Monroe was both.
Currently on the Celtics.
Exactly. Ronald Flip Murray.
That's the Bucks.
Unbelievable. And Gary Payton.
The glove.
Yeah, I don't remember much on the Milwaukee.
If I'm not mistaken, Gary Payton was traded for Ray Allen, and that's how Ray Allen got to Seattle and Payton got to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that was a huge trade at the time.
Desmond Mason and Ray Allen for Gary Payton.
I think that's the first time we had a winner in power play in how long now?
Yeah, and there were so many boths. I was.
You said that there was not going to be a winner.
I got it. I got to admit, I was giving Brady a little bit of crap beforehand, saying, you can't have six boats.
No.
Well, I was trying to mess with him a little
bit.
Well,
we get better callers when we answer the phones. Nothing against the interns. When the interns answer the phone, it's like either they hang up on people or it's like, you know.
Right. They would have won if they could have only actually gotten on the air.
It's insane. We can never get a winner that way. We'll come back. Last story standing, final thoughts for the weekend and all that stuff coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
This is time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, a couple things we got to get to. First of all, the mistake of the day. Who was the winner today?
The mistake of the day winner today was, who did I tell you?
Somebody
you?
In Milton. I forgot. Stan
Stephen
or
Milton.
Stephen Milton. I couldn't read my writing.
Stephen
Stan,
Milton.
Steve, there you go. Stephen Milton is the winner for the mistake of the day today. And for the week, who wins our first week of the mistake of the day?
The winner of the mistake of the day and that proud new owner, or new proud owner? New proud owner of the 101.3 ESPN baseball cap, Tristan in Williston.
Yes, right. Bravo.
So Tristan in Williston gets that new baseball cap thanks to our friends at Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
See, complaining can pay off.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, you guys know we do trivia Tuesdays at the Burger Bar. I want to tell you about another place. It's called the Bull City Burger and Brewery in Durham, North Carolina. Mm. Hungry customers go there, and there's a special burger on the menu. The restaurant has been serving hamburgers, and this is the week of Exotic Meat Month.
Uh-oh.
So on top of their hamburgers, most people just get cheese for a cheeseburger, maybe throw an onion ring. They will put a tarantula. A tarantula. On top of your burger, there's a picture of it. I don't know if you want to see it.
Why would anybody do that?
Well, I think
they sold one?
Oh, yeah. I think the tarantula is dead, so you don't have to eat it while it's alive.
Disgusting.
And it is Exotic Food Month. They do have other foods. You can get your burger with elk, crickets, chocolate-covered bugs, some of the stuff that's been on the menu. So which one would you get there, Brady? You got
cheese.
I go with the chocolate-covered bugs just to cover up the flavor. I don't think I could eat a tarantula.
No.
No, I didn't. You got to see the picture.
I couldn't even eat a pickle today. They tried to give me a pickle and peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I
something.
Saw that. That's the new rave, by the way.
Yeah, I don't eat pickles.
That's the new rave.
Pickles. Around here, you had one
no,
of those?
No, that's the thing on Twitter. Ugh. Everybody's trying the new crave, which is
peanut butter and pickles.
Yes, so everybody's trying
ugh,
that now.
I'd rather stick a fork in my eyeball.
Pickles are disgusting.
Well, I'd rather have pickle and peanut butter than tarantula on my hamburger.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Or chocolate-covered bugs or crickets. Or any type of dead animal. I don't need dead animals on my burger. The dead animal I'm eating is enough there. All right, great week. Wow, went by, just flew on by. Lots going on this weekend. Brady, what's coming up on the Champlain Valley game night tonight?
We'll get more into Red Sox-Yankees last night. What is wrong with Sonny Gray for the Yanks?
All right, for intern?
Nobody.
No interns today?
Nope.
Just us.
They've been slacking. All right, for Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Everybody have a great weekend. Champlain Valley game night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.